Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to talk about the fuzzy, fluttering, almost sometimes not supposed to be able to fly, workers, drones, and queens of their own hives. We're talking about bees. And this week, we've got two amazing first-time guests on the show. I mean, when does this ever happen, where somebody hasn't been on before at all? This is wild. So our first guest is a stay-at-home astronaut living in the San Francisco Bay Area. He has a house-hunting budget of $72 billion. And he also has an empty bird cage behind him, so maybe we'll get to find out what happened to that bird.
Where do you think I got the money?
Don't ask. Is it the bird that knows the nuclear launch codes, and that's you just sold it?
It knows what the next, you know, Bitcoin stock is going to be. It's this prognosticator bird. Unfortunately, it told me to buy GameStop stock yesterday.
Oh, man.
So that's why it's not in the cage anymore.
So it's not as good as the German sports picking octopus.
Oh, God, no. You can't book that guy for anything. What do you
think? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all his arms are full all the time. This guest, whose name I haven't said yet, is Jason Ling. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And how are you holding up? We're in day 1 million of the pandemic, and you know, you've got a long white beard. I've got a long white beard. Our other guest also has a long white beard.
I'm just very happy that the rest of my neighbors also have increased their recycling. Let's just call it that. We're not going to call it a chemical dependency issue or raging functioning alcoholism. We're just going to be, we've upped our saving the earth by recycling more and more and more and more and more. So, Yeah. Fantastic.
It's also, I mean, I've read a lot of studies that say, I've done internet research, which we all know is the best kind of research.
It's the only kind.
And these studies say that the liver needs exercise a lot. And if you let your liver just like chill for a while on like water, it's just going to get lazy and stop doing anything. So here's to keeping it going. Our second guest is the author of several books, including Grimbargo, released by our press, Spaceboy Books, and you edited the Future Will Be Built by Robots collection that we put out as well. You also have a book called, Come Back to the Swamp, and then you're in the short story collection that just came out that was trending very well.
Yes, that is Dead of Winter.
Okay.
There are two horror winter themed anthologies that Black Spot Books has put out recently, and I'm in both of those, and I have a first in a series of four books coming up this summer, a fantasy series.
Right on. So, that's fantastic. So yeah, yes. The guest we're speaking with right now is Laura Morrison, and Laura, it's been a pleasure to work with you on the books we've worked on, and it's fun to meet in person just now.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's all been email correspondence, and and it turns out it worked. That you're actually a nice person in person as well.
Well, thank you.
You could have been one of those people who has a really good keyboard mentality and not a good otherwise. They're out there.
I'm much better at writing than I am at speaking, so we'll see how this goes.
Oh, it's gonna be great. So let's just start with the opening question here. Bees live a remarkably organized communal life. So I want to ask both of you how you would feel respectively about Jason being a drone, because all male bees are drones. You don't get a choice. You're a drone. And Laura being a worker, because I mean, you could turn into a queen. I'm not gonna, you know, lock you out of that. But odds are good you're gonna be a worker. So let's just talk about how you feel about being stuck in those bee roles. Jason, let's start with you.
After hearing the pedigree of my competitor, this is not fair.
One more thing about me. I keep bees.
You keep bees. I knew it.
Well, there you go.
Oh, what is this? What is this?
It's a setup.
Oh.
This is and I'm going to say this completely unironically, this is a sting.
And yes. Jason has left the Zoom. No.
Just damn you. To answer about being a drone, you know, there's something pure about the simplicity of a schedule.
Sure.
You know, it's almost like you don't have to worry about distractions. You wake up, you're a bee, you do your day as a bee, you go to bed as a bee. And you don't have to worry about things like organizational skills or Gantt charts or org charts or budgets or anything like that. I actually wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, it's a nice little kind of break from having to like worry about and run everything. Yeah. And besides, what's like the lifespan of a drone?
I figure it's got to be a couple of weeks.
I don't know. I'm going to ask the beekeeper here.
I don't know.
Yeah, but see, there you go. I know.
Short. Yeah. Let's say short.
See, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jason, you've worked in tech enough that you've certainly been a drone at some point.
Oh my God. Yes. I will fully admit that there have been times in the recent years where I have truly missed the coming in, working at a gigantic corporation where if I could figure out a way, like I could literally like not show up for a week and no one would know.
Yeah.
Because it's just that big.
Very somebody scanned space. Your badge in every day.
Oh yeah,
day,
totally. Like very office space where it's just like come in and it's like, are you doing any work? Well, I'm sitting here. That's 30% of my job. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, there is. There's every once in a while, there is just kind of that simplicity of just like, here are your instructions, do this. It's again, it's like the purity of repetitive action.
Sure. Yeah. Great. Laura, talk about what's it like being a worker? Like, how would you feel about that?
Well, I feel like I'm pretty much, I would do that. I would be fine with that. I'm very busy already.
Sure.
I'm always, there's like way too much going on all the time, way too much to do. I'm at least accustomed to it. It would be nice to be a drone, I suppose, if I had to pick one or the other in some ways, because you do just sit around. But you don't get to fly. You just kind of, they don't fly. Yeah. They don't do much of anything. They're just there to make babies. And they don't, and that's not even much of their life anyway. They just mostly hang around because there's so many of them and there's only one queen. I would not want to be a queen because they have like a bajillion babies and I can't even handle my two babies. So
The paperwork.
But you get that sweet royal jelly.
That's true. Mm. That's true. That's a good point. But that's on balance though. No.
Yeah. No. I mean it still doesn't outweigh the fact that having to oversee a brood is absurd. No. Like
though I think the workers are the ones that actually handle that. She just lays there laying eggs all the time. And I don't know. That would be a depressing existence. Well,
in your beekeeping, do you have a sense like do the queens enjoy giving birth? Or is there any research on this about like bee birth being painful or anything like that? Or is it just like it's whatever?
I don't think so.
Are there bee doulas? I think that's the question. Are there doulas?
Yeah.
There are a lot of bees who look at a lot of worker bees who look after the queen bee at all times. Like when you buy a queen bee, because you buy them separately if something happens to yours or whatever, you need to split a hive. And so you get queens occasionally. They come with a bunch of like little worker bees who all just start taking care of her in her little bee box. And so, yes, there's a lot of doulas actually for her.
And they have
times.
Like
but
tiny
no,
inflatable pools for the water birth stuff.
Nah, it's nothing to her. She just pops them out. That's what
tiny,
she does.
Tiny, 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 tiny Enya CDs that they play.
Yeah.
Essential
oils. No, they would use
they
tiny
have a
vinyl
lot of
records.
Essential oils with all those flowers.
They've got needles on their butts already. You just get one of them on there and they're just gonna walk around the record.
And the acupuncture. Mm-hmm. They got that with their little stingers.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be enjoyable to be a worker bee, but I would be accustomed to it at least.
Would you want to unionize a group?
Definitely would want to unionize because I think the queen would be a very, she'd be a tyrannical sort of individual.
Your tiny little
and the drones
signs.
Are all such idiots.
Well, you come up with a cool dance that means hell no, we won't go. And that's
it. Yes, exactly. And the drones are nothing. They just don't do anything. They're all they do is just occasionally mate with the queen. And then have you guys read the Kurt Vonnegut book, short story about the guy who wants to
the old billionaire
Nate.
I know this story and I cannot remember the title of it for the life of me.
Neither can I, but it was a short story he wrote that recently came out, obviously posthumously, and it's about bees, and the guy wants the main character guy wants to stand up for drone male rights, essentially.
It's called the drone kid.
Yes, that's it. It was hilarious. I loved it.
It's great. Jason, you should read it. And the listeners, everybody should check this out. I'm pretty sure you can find it easily on the internet. It is the most beautiful satire of the Proud Boys that could possibly exist right now.
It's
just a brandy swirling billionaire asshole sitting by his fireplace going, oh, what are we going to do about these poor drones?
No, you don't understand. All bees matter. That's what's important.
I love it.
That's so good.
Great job, both of you, on the opening question. I'm going to award you each 2 points. For me, I'm all in on a bee life, just because I feel like there's an extent to which the central lie of living as an adult in the world at this point is that you're going to have a lot of choice and be free to do shit. And the truth is no, you actually pretty much just have to do whatever you can do to make enough to survive. And that usually means following someone else's arbitrary rules, regardless of how arbitrary and absurd they are. So yeah, I mean, fine. I'd take it if it's a pheromone-based rule system over a we wrote this on a whiteboard and we put, be nice to people at the top of the list and then it's all despotic nonsense. I don't care where the rule set comes from. Just give me the rules and I'll just follow them and don't ask me any questions.
Nate prefers a scent-based society over actual, I don't know, laws. That's fine.
Look, we can start with talking about how you can tell if someone's evil based on their smell. I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ugh.
That's why Drakkar Noir is so problematic. All right, we're going to go into round number one. Laura, we're going to start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Bee Movie?
Oh, yes.
Talk about it.
I don't like it. It's wrong. I keep bees. The main characters of that movie are they're males and they go do things. They go out there flying around doing things and they don't do that in real life. Yeah. And they make the beekeepers out to be bad people. The vast the people who keep bees and just drive them all around the country and make them sick, giving them inadequate food, that's one thing. But beekeepers take care of bees. I have bees because I want to help the bee population, not turn them into slaves.
Oh, yeah.
So I have strong views on the Bee Movie.
It is definitely a horrible movie. So there's no argument there.
I just thought it was a really, really, really half-ass attempt to do a Pixar movie. That's kind of where I ended at. I saw the movie poster. I'm like, wow, somebody with After Effects saw Toy Story and said, I could do better.
And to boot, this is Jerry Seinfeld's movie.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
So he's the lead bee. So, it's a bunch of what's the deal with honey?
Does the bee have a puffy shirt?
I
want to wear a puffy shirt. There's another bee flying around going, you're not sponge worthy or some other nonsense.
The movie becomes a courtroom drama halfway through where the bees are suing a beekeeper. It is just an absurd level of nonsense.
I have to watch this now because that sounds so bad.
Horrible. Yeah, yeah. It's really bad. In every possible way, it's bad.
Yeah, wow. It's like, wow. It's like,
you
wow,
had
stupid.
Me a Jerry Seinfeld as a bee.
And it's pretty much like the central conceit of Bee Movie is how many bee puns can we make in an hour and a half?
Yeah.
And they don't care. It's not really a movie for children, and it's not really a movie for adults. It's almost like it's a movie for no one. It's literally a movie for the writing staff who made it, and that's it. And I don't even think it's for them. It's sort
and none of them obviously did a. They did no research. There was so much potential with the problems going on for bees. Yeah. There was so much potential to have some sort of message in there, but they did not.
When
they
did
had
it,
like
when
so many anti-messages. It was not that long ago.
It came out in 2007.
Okay, 2007. So we're talking 13-ish years ago.
Features Jerry Seinfeld, Renee Zellweger, Matthew Broderick, Patrick Warburton, John Goodman, and Chris Rock. Stacked cast.
Yeah.
Produced by DreamWorks Animation. So, yes, you are correct. It is a,
I think, yeah.
We saw Pixar and we wanted to do this.
No. I think I know exactly what that, why that was all about. Because I think in 07, DreamWorks owed money to the mob.
Yeah.
And DreamWorks, I think that was Katzenberg. Was he? I think he was one of the founders of DreamWorks. Because I think
him and Spielberg and stuff.
Yeah, Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Geffen. I think they had to make the movie, or they would have had their legs broken.
Right.
I get it now. Okay.
Yeah. That's why Geffen's been on that yacht since the pandemic started.
because he's terrified of someone's gonna say you got to do another B movie.
Yeah. They've been saying B movie 2, or we break your legs again.
You got a really nice yacht here. Be a real shame if something happened to it. So here's the new cast for your second B movie. We've got Kevin Hart's second cousin.
But yeah, I mean, the plot of this movie is absurd. Barry B. Benson, that is Jerry Seinfeld's character, discovers that humans have been eating honey for generations and becomes very upset that this is happening. And
isn't
then like basically tries to get everybody to go on strike. This causes all plants to die out. And then somehow they win a court case. And all plants suddenly come back to life, which, I mean, I get that it's a cartoon, but if you create the literal apocalypse for life on the planet, you probably can't walk that back in a couple of minutes. This isn't Idiocracy.
How much drugs were involved in that writer's room? Oh my God.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the 2000s. So it's probably mostly like uppers, right? And maybe
ecstasy.
Yeah. People grooving. Great job on B movie. I'm giving you both 1 point. And Jason.
Oh, Lord.
Do you have a vague idea about colony collapse disorder?
Sure. Oh, I see. Don't ask the beekeeper.
She's going to get a chance at it.
Okay. Colony collapse disorder.
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Yeah. Talk about it. And if you don't know, make something up.
Okay, that is when the workers unionize, and when their demands aren't met, they strike outside of the colony, and it causes the plants to die, and then there has to be a court case, and at the end of it, somehow Jerry Seinfeld still has a career.
Yeah.
That's what I know. That is colony collapse.
And Jerry's going to be defensive about that career forever. He's going to be like, I had the best show on TV.
Hey, that is literally all I know. I warned you earlier. Here's my extent of knowledge of bees. One, my dog likes to try to eat them. And when he gets stung, it's really funny. Two, they're bugs or insects and they fly. Well, not all of them, but they fly. That's it.
No, I love it. That was a great answer. Laura, yes. Talk about colony collapse disorder.
Yes, I, as the beekeeper, will give the real answer. And of course, that is that.
That was a hard flex, too.
Yes, that's it's down to the lasers, the space lasers.
Oh, yeah.
That the Mitch McConnell, he's got the little fine-tuned space lasers that he knocks all the hives out with, and that's what it is. But also, there is there's the school of thought that it is mostly caused by pesticides and some fungicides that farmers use on their crops to keep pests and fungus away. And the bees don't like it and makes them sick. And also, what else? Just general malnutrition and overwork from the bee owners who truck their bees all around the country from farm to farm, feeding them sugar water instead of what they naturally are supposed to be eating. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a lot of stuff, plus the space lasers.
If they just unionized, they wouldn't have exactly this problem.
This is true. This is true because beekeepers
are
all
interesting
evil.
Is this is like, you're all familiar with like the Roanoke colony, like,
oh, yeah.
That the suddenly just a bunch of people disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is it's just like a bunch of bees just leave a hive and leave a queen behind and nobody quite understands why. And then they end up dying because they dehydrate or they're, you know, whatever. Cause I've heard all sorts of things too, that there are issues with maybe radio signals or concerns about some of the technology stuff, right? Like we're disrupting enough signals that maybe these bees just go out to go to work and they totally forget where they are and they never come back. It's crazy. And yeah, it's horrible. It has all sorts of whimsical names like disappearing disease and autumn collapse and things like that. But yeah, basically it's just, hey, we're going to run out of bees if this keeps happening. And if we run out of bees, you know, for the most serious moment in the show, we're fucked if there's no bees. Like, and not just like, oh no, and there aren't any pretty flowers for me to buy at the store. It's like, there's no food.
Yeah,
there's no lots of things.
I mean, I'm very, very happy that I have this gigantic rosemary bush in my front yard. No, I'm being serious. All joking aside. And just a few days ago with the weather here in the Bay Area, it's been kind of weird and dreary and rainy because, well, it's winter for us. But the other day I stepped out to check my mail and I have this huge rosemary bush and I heard this hum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I couldn't quite place it until I got closer to the rosemary bush, covered in bees doing their bee thing. And it really made me smile.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. Great.
That's sweet.
The way that my sort of fear of bees from childhood, like the sort of like, oh no, I don't want to get stung, which I blame several films for this, but anyway, we'll get to that later. And I'm serious. We will get to that later. But, but I mean, I have like a real love of bees and I'm with you, Jason, like anytime when bees are hanging around, I mean, I've seen like a bee on the sidewalk and I will try to find water just to be like, hey, you probably need a drink.
Yeah.
And just here's like a drop of water or I'll just, you know, whatever I've got available, like pour a little bit on the sidewalk and let them slurp.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Wasps are assholes.
No. Yeah. Wasps. I don't want anything to do with wasps or hornets or yellow jackets or any of the innumerable monsters of the sky.
A nice little fuzzy bumblebee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
people always lump them together too. They always blame the bees for whatever the wasp has done. Like if they get stung, if a hornet or a wasp or whatever bites them, they always blame bees. It's always bees that are the bad guys. It's not fair.
But they're not bees. Those are they're just built to be jerks and they just happen to like they're just putting on the same jacket. It's a real false flag operation by these wasps. That's what I want to say.
Truth.
Good Lord.
Get in touch with InfoWars. It'll be great.
Oh Lord, please don't.
No, I definitely won't.
Listen, if you just want crazy ass conspiracy to be one of your sponsors, give me 20 minutes and $1,000. I will come up with stuff for you.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to send you an email later. Great job on colony collapse disorder. Laura, 2 points. Jason, 1 point.
Yay.
And now it's time to play our first game. It's time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. And this week on Fuck, Marry, Kill, you both have 3 wonderful bee-related options. So, Jason, we're going to start with you.
Oh, Lord.
Who will you fuck, who will you marry, and who will you kill from the following?
Okay.
Candyman. Bumblebee Man from The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
And Cardi B. Who are you going to fuck, who are you going to marry, who are you going to kill?
Okay. Bumblebee Man from Simpsons, I will say fuck, because he looks like a tender lover.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
I mean, come on. He's got that hot Latin passion.
Yeah. And in the 22 Stories Around Springfield episode, like you get to see him take the bumblebee costume off.
Exactly.
He's got a loving wife. He's like trying to, he's just living.
Exactly. Yeah. He just seems he'd be a loving he'd be a very tender lover.
Yeah, I think so.
Cardi B, I would marry straight for the money. Yeah. Just flat out. which then leads to Candyman, which I love the Candyman movie franchise. Tony Todd is phenomenal. I have met him a few times years ago when I lived in LA. He is one of the nicest human beings in the world. He is so great. He truly understands where he is in the whole Hollywood world of like, yeah, I did Candyman. That's what I do.
He's several Klingons.
Yeah, he's like, you need a really, really big, scary guy that looks like me. I get the phone call. And I'm like, good on you, man.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to go with him. I have to kill him so that we could have another Candyman movie, because we all know how that would go. I would kill him. And as I'm walking away, not looking back, you'd see like a hand twitch.
Yeah, yeah. Revenge is coming for you.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a risky bet on your part. You're gonna lead to your own demise.
Yeah, that's fine.
But hey, I mean, that's...
I'm going to siphon as much money off of Cardi B as I can. It'll be fine.
They're perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Laura, who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
Well, I only know who Cardi B is.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, yeah. So Bumblebee
I'll
Man.
Marry her. Again, money. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll go with her there. I will kill whoever is from The Simpsons, because I'm better with killing a cartoon than a person.
Ooh. All right.
So that, I don't think that, from what you just said, though, I don't think I'd be thrilled with the last option. Doesn't sound like a good dude.
Well, no, I mean, here's the thing with Candyman, like his origin is he's like a slave who is taken in as a lover by a white woman and who is then killed for being in that relationship.
Oh, okay.
And then he has a long-term legacy of doing violence upon people.
Okay.
Killed brutally.
Oh yeah. With hooks, with the very meat hook that he carries around. It is horrible.
And
he's
honey.
Also like killed by bees. Yeah.
They
cover
honey,
him with honey and then,
honey.
And then
oh,
bees
yeah.
sting him to death. He has a bad situation. That's where the bees thing comes in. Yeah. Candyman gets covered in bees.
Well, that's disgusting.
But he's like,
it would have to be a pre-death situation.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You're not gonna do the mid bee death.
It's going to be hard
or
to
post
yeah.
the honey. The...
No.
It's going to be hard to explain to the parents. Mom, Dad, this is my reanimated butchered corpse who used to be a slave. We call his name's Candyman. We call him CM for short.
Mm-hmm. And we're having a casual sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Not marrying him. But
no.
We're having a casual relationship. No, but I think that's a great call, Laura. I think he would be a fantastic lover. His in canon character is a righteous revenge based. So you're doing the right thing.
Okay, cool, cool. That sounds good.
Yeah.
I think I made a good decision there.
There's a lot to unpack there about with that wanting to be your lover, but that should be a separate podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get the Spice Girls on to talk about it. It'll be great.
Oh,
nice.
Great job on Fuck, Marry, Kill. You were both absolutely 100% correct, and you get 2 points each. And now it's time for round number 3. Jason,
uh-oh.
You have a vague idea about Akilah and the Bee.
It's a book? I am so horrible at this. Sure. And I promise I'm not going to look at my phone.
I mean, hey. You know, whatever you come up with, you're good.
Okay, it's kind of a coming of age story between a young girl who is blossoming into womanhood, and she meets a guy in a bee costume.
Okay. Maybe the Bumblebee Man.
Yes, it's exactly it. And it crosses cultural lines and language lines. And at the end of it, both of them learn something new about themselves.
So it's Harold and Maude, directed by
yes.
Pedro Almodovar. And
yes. And Tony Todd is the Bumblebee Man.
And Tony Todd is the Bumblebee
yes.
Man.
There we
you
go.
You know what? Obviously this does not exist, but I think that in a time where the only movies and books that come out are just rewrites of past things, this is the property that someone needs to green light.
Oh, so my God. Yeah.
I'm on board. I will put $1,000 that I'm going to give you to come up with conspiracy theories into this project now. I'm good. Moving that money over.
I'll get the Kickstarter up and running. We'll be good to go.
Perfect. Laura, Aquila and the Bee.
Hmm. I have no idea. I've never heard of this. I can't even come up with a fake anything. It's I don't know. I get 0 points.
Okay. No, that's all right. You can hey, you know what? You had a 1 point lead. You're just keeping it interesting.
I just sneak peeked of what it actually is. I am so off.
You are surprisingly on though because of the coming of age part. I mean, you mentioned the coming of age thing.
Everything's a coming of age thing.
I mean, come on, that's an easy one. It's like you could just assume that.
Yeah. Yeah, Friends is a coming of age story about six people living in New York and they get older through it. So
the Saw franchise is just a coming of age film.
You start in an age where you're in an elaborate trap to murder you and you come of age as a corpse. Yeah, Aquila and the Bee is a 2006 American drama film. It is about a girl named Aquila Anderson who participates in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. And it's just like about spelling bee stuff. It has Angela Bassett, Lawrence Fishburne, Curtis Armstrong, great people. Really well-regarded movie. I've never seen it, but it's one of those things where I'm like, I probably should see this. So yeah, how about that? Hmm. Jason, 1 point, and Laura, 0 points.
Wow, sad.
I'm in for you.
And we're gonna hop into round number four. So Laura, do you have a vague idea about No Rain by Blind Melon?
I do.
Let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh. I can't think of it. I know it and I'm horrified that I can't think how it goes. Oh my gosh. It's not like they had a lot.
This is when Grandpa Gen X is gonna shine. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm the in-between with Gen X and the other one. What? How does it go?
All I can say.
Yes. Yes.
I like.
Well, what? So, what do I know about it besides that? That is it. I don't know. I love that song though.
But to stay awake and wake my life away, did escape.
Yeah.
I love that.
Rest in peace, Shannon Hoon.
All right. I mean, seriously, talented mm-hmm. person. Yeah,
I guess that's all I know. And I couldn't even come up with that on my own. I know what the song is now that you
all right. Well, hey, you know what? You know, it's a song. That's worth the point right there.
Yeah.
because it could have been an experimental performative art piece. I don't know. If somebody says No Rain by Blind Melon, if you're 7 years old, you're like, I have no idea. Like, what are you even saying? That would be like, it's almost a English as a second language test to say No Rain by Blind Melon. I don't know what you're trying to say to me. What? Jason, talk about this.
No Rain by Blind Melon, their first single off of their album Blind Melon, self-titled, from 1992, lead singer Shannon Hoon, famously recorded on the music video of the cute little tap dancing bee girl.
That's right.
Who introduced the video.
I couldn't even think why this was related to bees. So there we go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the song.
Yeah, yes. Very good. The bee girl's name is Heather Deloche.
Yeah.
She was born February 1st of 1983, which means that she's roughly probably somewhere in the middle of all of our ages. And which means she's no longer a child. And that means we're no longer children. We're actually very old. But yeah, she's pretty much known for that. She has a Wikipedia article specifically for being B-Girl, which,
B-Girl.
You know what? For all the work I've done, I can't get a Wikipedia article for my life. But God damn it. She was also in 2 episodes of ER. So that's exciting.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
What I do know is that when she when they open up the video and she's in the bee costume and she's like tap dancing, she didn't know how to tap dance. And apparently the story goes is that her stage mom, her mom off camera, is just yelling at her going, just do something, do something. So that's what she did.
Oh, good. Well, then, yeah, I mean, she deserves any amount of money and fame she gets, because to have been abused the way that she almost certainly was as a child, because nobody who's getting stage mommed is getting off easy.
No.
Yeah. Congratulations. You're going to be in the only video of the only song that this band is going to be known for. No one knows who you are. And I'm sorry that your mom is screaming at you.
Yeah. And she was literally like, she was iconography for, I think, probably every major radio station for a period of time, where it was just like, oh, hey, we've got new contemporary music, and here's a clip of the B-girl and, you know, 6 seconds of No Rain. And that was just the thing. Like, I remember seeing her all the time.
Yeah.
And not just MTV, but literally like any radio station spot had
she,
her.
She took the mantle away. This might have been before her. The Pepsi girl. Remember the Pepsi girl?
Yeah.
I don't know if
she was in Curly Sue also. The
right.
Cute,
yeah.
Oh,
cute little
yes,
girl.
Yes.
But I think the B girl.
She's not an Osment, but she's like an Osment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Great work, both of you, on No Rain by Blind Melon. Jason, 2 points. Laura, 1 point. And now it's time to play our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, you've got a fight between someone who floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee, and someone who changes from a Volkswagen Beetle into a robot, goes by the name Bumblebee. Who wins in a battle to the death between Muhammad Ali at the peak of his powers and the Transformer Bumblebee? Laura, what do you think?
Oh, man. And I don't know any pop culture, so I don't know about the Transformers. I have...
Okay, so he's the Transformers are like... robots that turn into cars.
I do know that much.
Cool.
Yes.
So Bumblebee is anybody who wasn't an alpha kid growing up's favorite Transformer.
Okay.
Because Bumblebee is like cool. But he's like an adorable yellow Volkswagen bug when he's a car. Yeah. And then he turns into like this, he's just like smart, but he's smaller than the other Transformers. So, I mean, I always gravitated toward him because I wasn't going to be like, oh, I'm Starscream because I'm a dick and I play football. I was like, no, I'm Bumblebee because I mean well, but I'm not as big, I'm runty. So Bumblebee's like an adorable character. There was a movie that came out, I think 3 years ago, 4 years ago, where Bumblebee was, it was centered on Bumblebee, had... Yep. What's her face in it? Who's very talented. I can't remember the actress's name.
The girl with the hair and the shoes. Is that
what
we're doing?
She's been in the Pitch Perfect movies, but she's not the lead Pitch Perfect. She's one of the second Pitch Perfect.
Bumblebee girl.
Yeah, Bumblebee girl. But anyway, so Bumblebee's like a chill Transformer, but he is a massive car robot. And then
so
Muhammad
he's
Ali.
A he's a robot.
Yeah.
In disguise. So no matter how So he's going to win because he's a machine.
I mean, I guess this shows a lot about your perspective on the battle between man and AI that's coming for us anytime in the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, the sooner the better. We are bad. We don't deserve. We can't have nice things. We should be killed by the machines. And...
I, for one, welcome our computer overlords.
Oh, yes. Me too. No, yeah, I don't know. I know nothing about popular culture ever since I had kids. I don't, unless it's, of course, like PBS Kids or Disney movies.
Right. And Disney hasn't bought the Transformers yet. Yeah, they're still,
one of
they're
the,
still
one
in
of the
Michael
few
Bay's.
Give it time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm going to say that the machine will beat the person.
Okay. All right. Hey, I buy it. I mean, if nothing else, he can turn into a car and try to run him over. And I'm sorry,
there you
but
go. Yeah.
Muhammad Ali's not that fast. It's still a car. So yeah, good answer. Jason, what do you think?
And Muhammad Ali is dead. So Bumblebee automatically wins.
Well, you know, this is Muhammad Ali.
Oh, you don't mean like now.
This is like
just sort of waving Muhammad Ali's corpse around in a boxing ring.
Yeah. No, it's we're not going to do a Punch and Judy with fucking Muhammad Ali as a hand puppet.
$1,000. I could write that script.
Man, I'm just, you know what? I'm actually figuring out what to do with all my stimulus money right now. Jason, you and I are going into business.
There you go.
Conspiracies.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Jason, what do you think? Thunderdome, who's winning?
Bumblebee. I mean, it'd be like a boxer getting into a fight with a forklift. I mean, you're going to lose. I mean, that's just, I mean, there's no competition. I mean, I will say this though, for pizzazz, I mean, Ali, I mean, going all the way back, Rumble in the Jungle and Foreman and all of those guys. He was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But Bumblebee's a car.
He's got like cannons built into his arms.
Right. I mean, the fight.
Does he like his personality though? Is he a fighter? Or would he just be
if you look in the Transformer movies, I mean, he kind of does his thing, but it's like, yeah. I think eventually what would happen is that he wouldn't fight back. I don't think Bumblebee would fight back. He would just wait until Ali broke every single bones in his arms.
Yeah.
Because again, he's punching a car.
True.
I mean, we've all seen some of those TikTok videos of like Florida man trying to beat up a cop car, but we all know how those end. So this is how it would end with Ali and Bumblebee.
Yeah, the bonus rounds in Street Fighter 2 are really the only time
where they're just kicking a car into submission.
Yeah. And also, that time it works.
Well, also to be fair, I believe that car was like an 86 like Honda Accord.
And not
a giant robot.
No, I mean, and this is an important question, right? Because the Transformers are alien robots from another planet that have come to Earth because of some sort of MacGuffin type resource that's been dropped on Earth.
But somebody wrote a line in a script.
Yeah. Everybody sort of assumes that like, oh, they're made of the same stuff as cars, but I don't know that I've ever read anything or seen anything. And granted, I have not seen any of the Michael Bay Transformers movies because they didn't appeal to me. They looked like they were visually blinded. Like I would actually not be able to see them. But what are they made of? Do we know that they're made of metal, or do they just look like cars and they have some sort of alien sort of pseudo metal flesh thing that could be stronger than or weaker than? I don't know.
So according to the comic book canon, it isn't they aren't that natural form. They take that form when they come to Earth to blend in, but the material is not like Earth aluminum, steel, carbon fiber, and everything like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
But again, in everything else, it's a guy getting to a boxing match with a forklift.
Yeah.
He's going to lose.
Yeah. Really, your only option here is that Bumblebee's good nature allows Muhammad Ali to befriend him, and they walk away together, and they're just like, "Hey, we don't need to do this."
Yeah, like 8 seconds into the fight, Bumblebee just doesn't pick him up and like tear him in half, and then we're done. You know, that's the only thing that's his saving grace.
Right. And the actress in the movie is Hayley Steinfeld, who maybe does that evoke any pictures in anybody's heads?
Was she the Bumblebee girl from the Blind Melon video?
She was in the True Grit remake.
When I had kids.
She's the girl from the True Grit remake with Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
And then she's in Pitch Perfect 2 and 3, I think.
Wow, couldn't make it to the first one, huh? All right.
Well, you know, they weren't letting a lot of people in. Anna Kendrick is notoriously protective of properties.
Pitch Perfect has a cast of like 75 people.
Yeah.
Oh, poor girl.
So yeah, great job on the Thunderdome. You both were absolutely correct. 2 points each. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. So I have a question for you that is arbitrary, but I alluded to it earlier. Is it time for us to finally blame the film My Girl for the decline in bee populations? Laura, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. But why? Because that movie made me sad, and thus I don't like it, and thus I want it to be blamed for things. So yes, let's blame it. It was a very sad movie.
Yeah, I think the big point here is we were meant to believe like, oh, the bees killed Macaulay Culkin, but no, his allergy killed him.
It's true.
And everybody who listens to the show knows that we are a very Second Amendment positive program.
I was about to wait a minute.
I am joking, of course, but in the way that a gun doesn't kill people, people kill people. Well, bees don't kill people. Allergies kill people.
Bees help.
His parents should have gotten him the stuff he needed to go out into the world if he was that allergic.
Where was his EpiPen? Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta blame a combination of Wall Street and medical companies for making EpiPen so expensive. Jason, is it time to blame the movie My Girl for the decline in the bee populations?
No. You need to blame the remake of Wicker Man.
Ah, this is a good answer. Yeah.
No, because of that. My Girl was a sweet, beautiful, slightly criminally negligent film for not having an EpiPen available, apparently. Oh, and by the way, yeah, bees don't kill people. The venom within their butts kill people.
And like, hey, I didn't ask to be born with butt venom.
No, the remake of Wicker Man is to blame for killing bees. Nicolas Cage's performance was so powerful.
Yeah.
And so it defies description.
I think we all recall that performance alone swept every category of the Oscars that year.
Three words are going to be just, if you look at movie history, you have Rosebud.
Mm-hmm.
You have Coffee is for Closers. And now we can probably put in that same pantheon, no, not the bees.
Yeah.
I blame that. It's not my girl's a beautiful love story. It's a coming of age story of two people. Where the remake of Wicker Man is just an out of work, really overhype actor in a bear costume running around punching people who gets a beehive put on his head.
Punching women specifically over and over again.
Over and over and over again.
While saying,
so this is a thing
I'm in the
also
San Francisco PD.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He has his badge in one hand and he just keeps punching in the other one.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. This sounds like a thing I gotta see.
Oh yeah. My God.
You should watch the original Wicker Man first.
Brilliant
just to get the background, because it's a wild, funky horror story sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Fabulous.
But then you can the Nick Cage one is worth the look. It is something else.
Aww.
But yeah, I think what we should importantly do is let's just come up with a list of things that we can blame on the remake of the Wicker Man right now. I'm gonna add divisive 2000s era politics to that list.
Yes.
So we'll just put that up.
Yes. The acceptance of following the theme of a script as opposed the actual script because you're a big name. All right, what's Nick doing now? I don't know. Just keep the camera running.
We don't have any time. This film is expensive.
That's unacceptable.
We're cutting whatever he does. It's fine.
Yep. It's just so, because I am a huge fan of the original one. The original Wicker Man is so good.
Christopher
Lee. When did it come out?
Like, oh, 70s.
Can I blame my children?
70s.
This is a thing I cannot blame my children for missing out on.
Early mid-70s. I want to say like 74, maybe. I may be wrong, but it's like it was mid-70s. Huh. It was Christopher Lee.
That's the original
Lee.
One. The Nick Cage one came out in like 2004?
Something like that.
So they were all pre-Mitchell. I usually don't know pop culture because I was in a vortex of young
children
raising stuff. Yes. But no, wow. Those, I don't know why. I've never even heard of them, really. I've heard of, but never seen.
The original one is so good. It is a horror movie, but it's really much like, but not like gory, like modern day. It's very much like it's a slow burn. You get a sense of like, something's not right. There's trepidation. There's tension. It's beautifully shot in England. It's absolutely stunning, which is the complete opposite of what they did with the remake, where they just put Nicolas Cage in a bear suit and he was running around punching women in the forest.
Yeah, and I think they told them specifically, we're not going to mic you, so you have to yell as loud as possible the whole time. Dude, I don't want you to see you go small at all. You got to go. Yeah. Think of how big you can go and go bigger.
Nick. The problem was that we couldn't get the boom mic for today.
Yeah.
So you're just really going to have to project. Why am I starting three quarters of an acre away? It's for the shot. Just do it.
This is gonna be great.
Just go on.
And the original is the type of psychological horror and ominousness that really compares only to maybe the hollowed out face of a doll framed in a black frame over an empty birdcage, like what's behind Jason right now. Where you're just like, something bad's gonna happen here.
That is one of my wife's photos. Thank you very much.
I think it's beautiful. I was just
and there are no bees involved.
If it was darker behind you right now, I think I would be terrified. I would be worried about you.
Not totally.
I'd be like, oh no.
There we go. How's that?
great job, both of you, on La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. 1 point each. And so now we're going to go into the final topic. 1 point separates you. Jason has 12. Laura, 11. So this last question is literally for all the marbles. And as everybody who listens to this show knows, the winner receives a 2-ton bag of marbles sent COD by A Vague Idea to you. And, you know, it's only like shipping's like a couple $1,000 and then you got to pay for the marbles. But the point is you won the show. So it's a great honor to receive it. Everybody needs more marbles. Am I right? I mean, come on. We all have our favorite Aggie. We're playing every day.
Yeah. You know what you can do with marbles? You can put them in a dish outside, fill it with water up to like the level of the of like just so there's a little so the bees can
this
stand on the top
thing.
Of the marbles. This is for bees to drink out of.
Oh,
so
there you go. You know what,
so
Laura?
Perfect.
I'm going to give you a bonus point for throwing
sweet.
That inside in.
So now burner, you, I see. Uh-huh.
See, my knowledge is finally coming in handy here.
Yeah. So this is even more exciting because we are tied going into the final topic, which means anything can happen. Anything. But probably it'll be an issue of like you both winning or one of you losing. I don't know. It's unlikely that anything will happen. I mean, it's just a podcast.
Yes, Nate, that's how competitions work.
I mean, it's not like somebody would storm the podcast studio or anything wearing a buffalo headdress. So we're going to jump into the final topic. Jason, do you have a vague idea about B. Arthur?
Oh, where do I begin? Well, she's really, really known for her role as Dorothy, I want to say Sornack, on Golden Girls, with her mother, Sophia, in the Golden Girls cast. Ironically, Estelle Getty, who played Sophia, was younger than Bea Arthur.
Yep. I love that factoid.
It's so good. It's so good. A personal fact is, and I can drag my wife and yell in the microphone to prove this, many, many years ago, she was working as a little summer temp job at a florist. When Bea Arthur called, she answered the phone and she wanted to get some flowers for her son's wife, so for her daughter-in-law. And when my wife asked what kind of flowers you want, she's like, I don't know, some pretty crap.
Nice. Celebrities are just like us, guys.
They're just like us. I'm trying to think some of her earlier work. The character Deadpool, played by Ryan Reynolds, is absolutely obsessed with Bea Arthur. In the original Deadpool film, in the opening scenes, before he becomes Deadpool, he does his first job with a pizza boy who is stalking this young girl. Mm-hmm. He is wearing a leather coat with some fur around it and a white t-shirt with a picture of Bea Arthur's face on it.
Yeah.
I have that t-shirt.
Do you really?
I do.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
That is what I know about Bea Arthur.
Great. Very good. Laura, Bea Arthur, what do you know?
Not much. I knew everything that Jason just said. If you'd asked me first,
her.
I would have just basically said that.
She was actually texting me this entire time so I could say it.
Oh, it's a Cyrano situation. Jeez.
Oh, yeah, totally.
All right.
I knew all of that stuff. But beyond that, really not much at all.
All right.
Unfortunately.
No, hey, that's okay. That's okay. you know, this is this. What's interesting? Okay, so yes, Golden Girls. Everybody knows her from Golden Girls.
That is all I knew.
She was also in the show Maude.
Yes,
which was
yes.
big deal because it was like a it was one of the first like 70s era feminist women led sitcoms
female led
on TV. And fantastic show. Like if you can find it, it's I'm sure it's on some streaming service. It is really good. It like holds up. She is as like shoot from the hip, no bullshit as anybody can be, and it's fantastic.
She a lot of people will attribute Maude to laying really the kind of foundation for Murphy Brown.
Yeah. Definitely. Very similar veins, even though I think Maude did it better. But I mean,
totally.
You know, but that's the problem with derivation, right? Is the later version is like it's a little more money making and a little less serious. The Maude character first appeared on All in the Family in the very early 70s. Emmy winner, actress. She also was in the Star Wars Holiday Special. As the cantina owner slash manager, bartender. Yeah.
Bartender, yeah, yeah.
And she does a couple of songs because it was that type of special. And she died way back in 2009 at age 86. Fantastic lady. Wonderful example for people. I mean, I remember like watching Golden Girls and that show was great. Like, I don't know. I mean, I assume we all kind of watched that with our moms at some point in our lives. And it's such a good show.
I know, man.
Well, yeah.
I've seen about two episodes. I don't do pop culture apparently.
Yeah. Well, you got to get on it. Golden Girls is in like,
I hear
everybody's
good things.
All about it. Yeah.
It's a really, really, really strong message. Like during the early 80s, there was an episode where one of the character's brother came out to her as gay and he was going to be married. Of course, you know, legally you couldn't do it back then, married to his husband. And she originally had a problem with it, but then throughout the episode, she really just kind of like did this whole internalization, like self come to Jesus going, this is my brother and everything like that. And at the end of the episode, keep in mind, this is early 80s, goes, I just want you to be happy. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huge, huge back then.
This is, they also did an episode. So a very young Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Well, this might have been the spinoff afterwards, actually, now that I think of it. But anyway, a young Don Cheadle is talking to Blanche, who is the Rue McClanahan played Southern Belle of the group. And she has bad practices around dealing with Black people. Mm-hmm. And Don Cheadle calls her out. And it's like a huge, like two episode arc of the show where they deal with it in a very sincere way.
Yeah. And, that's so cool.
And yeah, it's wonderful. It's also horrible that like these cool things happened in like the 80s and 90s and somehow it still didn't
stick.
Stick. We still have people who are like, no, bad. I don't like it. And it's like, come on. Like you got the most palatable version of this and you could have just gone, oh yeah, they make a good point.
Yeah. You got the most safe, whitewashed version of racial equality and you still have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You just, no.
America, stupid country.
Ugh.
You know, we got a lot of growing to do.
Really do. Yeah.
You know, maybe we should.
Not to backtrack.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should look to the bees, right? And just sort of go, hey, you know what? We just have to sort of do what we have to do for the good of everybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing I like most about bees. I'm just going to say that right now. Some of the problems that we're running into with this country is that a lot of people think, like, I'm the only person who matters, and so I'm going to do what's best for me, and everybody else can screw themselves, because if I do things for other people by obligation, that's somehow got to have a negative buzzword attached to it, whether it's socialism, communism, or whatever.
Okay, that is five puns. Five.
Buzzword wasn't even intentional. That just happened.
Jesus.
But yeah, I mean, like, what's more beautiful than the idea of a community just like, we're all here. We're all in this together because we are. And it's not a matter of questioning it. It's not a matter of like, maybe I should be the most important bee instead of the queen. It's like, no, just do your shit. Do your dancing. Eat some pollen. Digest it. Regurgitate it. People can come and eat your bee vomit because that's honey, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. I'm into
so
that.
What you're saying is maybe the B movie would have been better instead of Jerry Seinfeld, it was Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, yes. What wouldn't
think
be
about it?
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, he would have done that right. Yeah. He would have done
yeah.
it right.
Oh yeah, he would. There wouldn't have been any court scene.
No,
everyone would have gotten honey.
Yeah, it would have been a movie without conflict, because instead of being like, oh, hey, I'm an idealistic young bee, and what's the deal with me having to do stuff I don't like? It would have been like,
yeah,
I'm really happy that I've got a room, and I can't wait to make some honey.
That's going to be on Bernie's tombstone. Here lies Senator Bernie Sanders.
the women and the female bees would have gotten a little bit of credit for the work they actually do.
Yes.
Oh, equal. Yeah. It would have been equal.
Uh-huh. Oh, it would. It would have been good. Yeah. Hopefully he can do that. Now that he's not president, he can refocus. He can make that movie. He can
forget
redo the bee
going
movie.
To Mars. We need to genetically breed a Bernie Sanders bee hybrid.
Yes.
I will call Jeff Goldblum. we'll get the teleportation machine from the fly. We'll
Dude,
see
there's
what
a
happens.
Good chance. There's a good chance if you emailed him, he'll answer.
I know. I'm kind of just excited for the opportunity. Jeff Goldblum, if you're listening, email me. Tweet at me first at Nate Rigoli on Twitter. Thank you. So, great job on B. Arthur. I'm gonna give Jason 2 points. I'm gonna give Laura 1 point. So that means Laura, I'm sorry, you lost with 13 points. Jason, you are this week's winner. With four
congratulations.
You know
Jason.
What? No. In the spirit of a colony, I cannot accept the only win. I must share it with my fellow colony member.
Well, that's beautiful. Then we have two winners this week.
There we go.
Aww.
Besides, I like being a drone. I'm just gonna go sit on the couch and wait to have sex. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's pretty much Married with Children. You just need a toilet flush sound effect.
There you go. Ugh, Jesus.
That's a show I know.
Yeah.
It's like, look, that was a TV show in the 90s.
I've maybe seen more episodes of that than the Golden Girls, but it still might be three.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch that show, so.
No, I think I saw it at a friend's house a few times. I didn't even, it was horrible. It was really, it was yuck.
Yeah. It's rough. It's got its moments, I think, but it's like, rough. Oh man. So it's a tie officially. I am certifying Sweet. The tie.
Boom. I appreciate that.
So thank you both for being on the show.
Do I get a certificate?
Well, you're both going to get a bunch of marbles.
Oh, that's right.
And the
to make
associated
a bunch of little
debt.
bee water feeder things.
Yeah. So Laura, plugs, anything that you would like to plug coming up? Anything you want people to pay attention to? You've got these books out.
Yes.
It's great to tell them about those. Anything else?
I have my podcast Space Mantis, which you, Nate, do have a little bit of a role in the first season.
Oh.
More of a role in the second season, which is yet to come out. I was just editing that today, actually. Space Mantis is a space opera podcast that I wrote and a bunch of writer friends do some voice acting in, and the final episode of season one just recently a few weeks ago aired, and so there's that. And also July 6th, the first book of my fantasy series comes out, and that is called How to Break an Evil Curse.
Nice.
And recently I had a short story come out in Dead of Winter, which we already talked about. It's about Santa, and it's a horror story, and I don't really write horror, so it's more of a comedy horror story.
Nice.
But the rest of the stories in the anthology, I think, are more firmly in the horror category. It's a horror anthology.
I mean, I think especially now, there's nothing more terrifying than a man in a red hat breaking into your house in the middle of the night.
He's an awful, awful person. He's a bad guy.
It's scary stuff. And yeah, I play a Brooklyn-esque worker guy
yes,
on that
Frankie.
Podcast, which is fun.
I wrote episode 6, and Frankie's developing a lot more into more of a character than I ever intended, just because you're good at him.
My responsiveness is my blessing and my curse.
Yes. Yes.
No, this is great. I'm very excited. Hopefully a Hamlet-esque soliloquy of some kind where Frankie considers whether to continue with his life of pseudo crime or not.
Yep, he's gonna be conflicted this season. It's gonna be fabulous.
Wonderful. Oh, great. Jason, anything you'd like to plug?
Someday I'd like to get out of this house. I guess really kind of the only thing that I would say is we are getting closer to the end of the tunnel. We have the vaccines. Everyone misses each other and everything like that, but just be smart about it. Yeah. It's coming to an end, you know, be safe, be healthy. I tend to keep my professional life outside of podcasts. So this is just the whole thing of like, yes, this has sucked.
Oh, it has.
So bad. But yeah, it's just honestly, I would like to think that this last year, I would like to think and hope that the one lesson that we should all learn from all of this is kindness. Just keep being kind.
Yes. I mean,
that's it. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I think that's sort of the grand disappointment. I mean, there are a couple of disappointments I've had. The pandemic should have ideally awakened us to an entirely different way of living and doing things. It did not. Instead, it's just been a wholesale resistance to changing anything at all, which I shouldn't have expected anything less. But I am nonetheless, as a science fiction writer and dreamer of dreams, I am disappointed. The kindness thing, like we should all be
kind.
We should be more patient with each other and more understanding. But also that kindness is the kind of kindness where you go, hey, I should think about how what I'm doing impacts other people.
Exactly.
Not just how me being inconvenienced impacts me, because I think we probably have all had some sort of beef where it's like, oh, hey, this idiot's not wearing a mask. Or I was in a Starbucks like a week ago picking up a coffee and a guy walked in and had the mask under the nose. And I was like, and he's my age. It's not like, oh, you can't figure this out. It's like, this has literally been a year.
First of all, there's a deeper issue to unpack if you don't know how a mask works.
Breathing is such an obvious thing. And
you know, Nate, I'll use a pun. It's like we're all one big colony.
Yeah, damn right.
Let's just do that.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. No, I mean, we should be better, and we should be more understanding of the way that we're connected, right? I would think that the pandemic should have been the kind of wake-up call moment to go, oh, climate change could be a thing, because it turns out stuff we do together affects everything.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's going to be, I think this was our practice pandemic, and we failed.
Oh,
and
God.
I think we're going to get another one, and then everyone will be like, they'll only
wow,
you have you to learn were, by making mistakes so you, I think
you must be amazing at parties.
I hate parties.
Clearly oh, you know, the thing that we've been dealing with for over a year, that over half a million people have you know, almost half a million people have tragically died, everything. Yeah, wait for it.
I honestly think you're right, I agree.
Yeah. We failed at our practice pandemic, and next time around we'll do it better.
I have told people over the last year, basically, here's my description of the pandemic. Mother Nature sent us to our rooms to think about what we have done.
Yeah.
The problem is that we are the kids, Laura, I think here can understand, where when you send them to their room, occasionally they'll like open up the door and sneak out into the hallway and be like, ha ha ha, I'm out of my room and everything like that. The problem is when they do that, they kill 25,000 people.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. When kids, you send a kid to their room to think about what they've done. They don't do that. They don't think about what they've done. That's like parents wanting a break from their kids. That's not actually. Yeah.
What you should do is you should send them to your room, because your room, one, it's weird because that's where like my parents sleep, and two, there's nothing in here for me to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. The only way to truly make punish a child something. Is to not punish them, but raise them to be a poet. And then they will think about everything they've done all the fucking time.
Oh, they'll just, they'll just sell. It's just, that's masochism right there. It's just self-punish.
Yeah. You just be like, ah.
I spent $180,000 on an English degree. Yeah. I died.
I'm really likable, but I can't make any money. and that's the show this week. Thank you both again so much for being on. This has been a real pleasure. I would love to have you both back on again in the future too. You know, because the Zoom format's going to work. Like if we can all get into a studio in some sort of wild world that exists in our imaginations, that'll be great. But doing this works really well. And it really is just, it's such a pleasure to connect to people all over the country and wonderful people who I've met or not really met, but finally meeting in person. So thank you. Thank you so much.
It was super fun. Thank you for having
us. So fun.
Yeah. You both crushed it too. This was sweet. Good. This is quality tent. That's what they say. That's what they say in the internet. we've all had a vague idea about bees this week, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.